Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you focus on the news through the lens of original thought or something like that, or words to those effects or that effect. And the last couple weeks, actually. Anyway, I'm a little punchy because I think I'm coming down with a cold, which I will be isolating for to some degree, but not because I wasn't isolating before. It won't be like Justin Trudeau, where I'm actually hiding and running away. It's just that I wasn't planning on going anywhere anyways. And so I do get the benefit of the hint of baritone in the voice as the vocal cords become disheveled and ravaged by the cold. And so you all will be the beneficiary of that going forward into the show today and even onward. And so where do we start? Where do we start? We've been off for a couple of weeks. And so I'll address that. I was off because I was traveling. That's probably where I got this cold. From those bastards where I was traveling. Anyway, I'm just joking about that. It's okay. So I was off because I lost my father. My father passed away. He displayed symptoms of... we don't really know. But he started behaving oddly, and he didn't recognize anyone, and he couldn't really communicate coherently. So the family brought him to the hospital, where, of course, he tested positive for COVID. And so they tried to find a way to say that he had something related to COVID, even though he never sneezed. He didn't cough. He didn't have a temperature. But he couldn't, his brain wasn't working, functioning properly. But he tested positive for COVID, in and out of the hospital for a week or so. And he finally passed last Saturday night, late Saturday night. And so my earliest, by the way, we got our crying out of the way, and there was very little of it because we know he's with the Lord and he's not suffering anymore. And he was pushing 80, which... if you knew my dad, you'd be shocked that he ever would have reached 75, let alone 80. So he had a pretty good run. And he knew the Lord, so we know where he is. He's not suffering. And my earliest memories, I've been going back through my memory banks because there's a lot of memories related to one's father. And my earliest memories that I can recall of my dad are him coming home late at night in a suit. A three-piece suit with a vest. It was brown. And he had been street preaching. He was street preaching with Jerry Graham and LaRue Bradley in Buffalo, New York. And those are the earliest memories I have. And that might be why it was that when I got a little bit older and I ran into some people who did some street preaching that I had no problem just getting right out there and preaching in the street. Although I will say that preaching in the street is the easiest form of preaching because you're preaching at people that you'll never see again. The more difficult part is being a witness to the people in your daily life. That's much more difficult. It's harder to pull off. Street preaching is easy. But anyway, I thank God that my father told me that Jesus was the best example of a real man early in my life, because that put me on a trajectory that was, it was better than I would have been without it, that's for sure. Be on my way straight to hell with jet rockets if it wasn't for my mom and dad. So thanks for that, Dad. I will see you probably sooner than I think. And so anyway, but we're back. And so now that now I don't know if I want to go to, I think I'll start with Jordan Peterson. And I don't think I'm going to start with him and Joe Rogan because, well, I think I'm going to start with, was it Jordan Peterson? Maybe it was a different guy. I get all these guys confused anymore. Anyway, Jordan Peterson is, unfortunately, he's a psychologist. I wasn't aware of that. I knew he was an author, although I haven't read any of his books. And I knew that he said a lot of things I agreed with. Although I haven't listened to him that much because a lot of what he says has been obvious to me for 20 years. So the fact that Jordan Peterson all of a sudden impresses everyone because he notices that the world is falling apart and everyone's in a catastrophic free fall into moral and civilizational degradation. The fact that everyone's noticing it or that Jordan notices it now and points it out, I mean, I don't know. But I like Jordan Peterson. When I found out he was a psychologist, that was now a black mark against him. But you know what? I'm willing to forgive. Anyway, Jordan Peterson, I am going to start with Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan. Jordan Peterson was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he spoke about the Bible to Joe Rogan. How that came up, it's hard for me to imagine. I can't imagine Joe Rogan bringing up the Bible, but hey, you know what? Things are going pretty insane. So even Joe Rogan, he probably has a cross tattooed somewhere on his body. If you look at all the tattoos on Rogan, he's probably got at least one cross. And he finally noticed it as he sees that the world's headed into tyranny and a bloodbath and 1,000 years of darkness. Even people like Joe Rogan, who so far have only been aware of their own appetites. That's the only thing they've been aware of in life. Joe Rogan made his living entertaining a selfish, leftist, overindulged children. That's how Joe Rogan became the biggest podcaster in the world. And now everyone's freaking out because he's starting to get serious about things. He's no longer just entertaining them. And so he's pointing out some things that are true, and people are all, they're mad at Joe Rogan now. He's supposed to be just a clown. Joe Rogan's supposed to know his place and just be a clown, and he's getting a little bit uppity, is what he's doing. In fact, the subject of the Bible came up when he had Jordan Peterson on his show, and Jordan Peterson pointed out to Joe Rogan that the Bible is the centerpiece of all ideas. He said it. He told Joe it's essentially the first book and serves as the basis on which other cultural knowledge is built. This is as reported from faithwire.com. Here's a quote from Jordan Peterson on Joe Rogan's podcast, The Clown's Podcast. Listen to this. Quote, "It isn't that the Bible is true," says Jordan Peterson. "It's that the Bible is the precondition for the manifestation of truth, which makes it way more true than just true," unquote. At which point Joe Rogan probably chuckled and maybe was enlightened for just a moment, because that's something that Joe Rogan can relate to. It's not just true, Joe. It's way more true than just true. Uh-huh. Peterson went on, quote, "It's a whole different kind of true. I think this, the Bible, is not only literally the case factually, I think it can't be any other way." And so there you go. And I don't know. I didn't listen to the show because I've never listened to Joe Rogan's podcast, because as far as I knew, Joe Rogan was a relatively vulgar clown. And not to say that he's not entertaining. I'm sure he's entertaining, but I never went for that type of thing. I was never a UFC fan, so I wasn't familiar. And so anyway, but he has Jordan Peterson on. Joe Rogan's had a number of people on in the past few months that have signaled that Joe Rogan's actually awake and paying attention. Welcome to the party, Joe. Come on in. It's comfortable in here. The water's, well, it's actually uncomfortable, but welcome. Anyway, Jordan Peterson's daughter, Michaela, recently revealed just back in October of 21 that she had a very sudden conversion, is what she calls it, a very sudden conversion to Christianity. Jordan Peterson's daughter got saved. She's born again. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen? There you go. I like that. So Jordan Peterson goes on Joe Rogan's podcast. And now, I don't know that Joe Rogan certainly has not claimed to have had a sudden conversion. But if it happens to Joe, that's the way it'll happen, Joe. It'll be sudden, buddy, and profound. But Jordan Peterson has not yet, as far as I know, made a public proclamation of his conversion to Christianity. But if he hasn't, he should just do it. Just get it out of the way, Jordan. And maybe he has, and I have not. Maybe I've missed it because I don't pay attention to a whole lot of this. In fact, I'm paying attention less and less, and I'm beginning to realize that the more I read the news and the more I pay attention to what's happening in the world, the more detrimental it is, the more rapid is the decline of my mind. Paying attention to all this stuff is actually bad for you. So anyway, I'm starting to wonder if doing this show is bad for me and I should just stop. And just cut it out, because just reading all this garbage. But then something like this comes up, and then I remember why I love doing this show. Like this next story is what I'm... Well, I mean, something like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan, that's enough to keep you going. But listen to this. You probably heard that one Neil Young, I said, for most of you, you'll have to go look that up. You remember Neil Young, don't you? No? That's right. Most people don't. Because he was always a B-side, second-rate opening act, just never really made it big, but always hung on. And there were always enough stoners and potheads around who needed something droning in the background that Neil Young somehow eked out a career. But from the light at the end of the tunnel file, we check in with Neil Young, who has demanded that Spotify take his music off of Spotify, which I think Spotify is like a radio station, except it's online. And Neil Young's music is on there, and he's demanding they take it down unless they delete Joe Rogan's show. And now Joni Mitchell, he asked his extremely attractive audience.
I don't know.
You don't know Joni Mitchell?
I know.
You and 95% of most people, they don't know Joni Mitchell. She says she's demanding, along with Neil Young, that her music be pulled off of Spotify.
Yes, amen.
That's right. And Joni, I'm not even going to get into what else Joni said. But there's a number of other, the LA Times says, other veteran acts are echoing Neil Young's criticism of Spotify for carrying Joe Rogan, and now Joni Mitchell's on board. Veteran acts? Really? You mean tired, old, never that great acts? You know, like Joni Mitchell and Neil Young. And now we can only hope, ladies and gentlemen, that the battle is joined. Right? And the music is pulled and starts being deleted. We can only hope that now that Joni Mitchell has stood up and Neil Young has stood up, can we pray? Can we hope? Fleetwood Mac, please eliminate yourselves. Grateful Dead, please, gone. Thank you very much. Paul McCartney, I'm sorry. If you appreciate the Beatles, I understand. But really, Paul McCartney as a solo act? Maybe they could all unite. Right? And you know what? You know what? It's really too bad that so many of the worst artists of the 60s and 70s have died. They're already dead and they can't join and protest and slowly eliminate themselves from society and from civilization and from our collective memory. Thank you very much. Don't like the middle squeeze. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I finally got my throat cleared, but my mind is not that clear because I'm under the effects of some drugs that I've been taking to try to manage this viral whatever I got going on. Maybe it's bacterial. Anyways, by the way, Jordan Peterson has resigned from the University of Toronto in protest of their policies of diversion, inclusion, and equity. I'm sorry, diversity, inclusivity, and equity. Is inclusivity even a word? I don't think you can add a Y to that doesn't make sense. Anyway, he calls their policies of diversity, inclusivity, and equity, he just abbreviates it D-I-E, die. And Jordan Peterson is against the dying of the light. He's against the death of civilization. And so he has announced that he's resigned from his tenured professorship at the University of Toronto, which one good side effect of that is he'll no longer be teaching psychology, which I'm hoping he repents of in the not too distant future, because anyone who comes to a knowledge of the truth and God and everything would shortly thereafter, I think, understand that psychology is anathema to all of that. Yes, now this comes to us from the widespread disillusion file. Jordan Peterson becomes disillusioned with the university, hopefully with psychology, and he says, quote, as he resigns, quote, musicians, artists, writers, stop bending your sacred and meritorious art to the demands of the propagandists before you fatally betray the spirit of your own intuition. He who sows the wind will reap the whirlwind, and the wind is rising. Unquote. That's Jordan Peterson quoting the Bible as he resigns from the cesspool of immorality and corruption and deviancy at the University of pretty much anywhere, but in this case, Toronto. Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson. And I guess thanks, Joe Rogan. Was there anything else that I wanted to... That's it for those guys. Then we move on to reason number 1,217 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Down in Florida, a father says that school officials... I don't even know if I... Can I even repeat this? Action News in Jacksonville, Florida reports that a student attending government schools there in the state of Florida, well, her parents received a phone call from school officials informing them that their daughter had attempted suicide. Her daughter had attempted to hang herself in one of the bathrooms at the government school, and that the suicide had followed what the school officials called a gender identity crisis. A gender identity crisis. At which point the parents said, a what? A what? Excuse me, because the parents never knew that their daughter was experiencing any gender identity issues. They weren't aware of that because the school, you see, the school had been having conversations with the girl about her gender identity, and they had kept it secret from the parents. School leaders had encouraged students at the school and staff to call the 12-year-old girl a boy, and they even gave the girl a new name at school, all in secret. They kept it all secret from the parents. Yeah, that's right. The school counselor that was involved told the father that his daughter didn't want to talk about the gender identity issues at home because the family was Catholic. And that made the family's attorney says that, they filed a lawsuit. Quote, it is a serious mental health decision that school personnel are not qualified and not competent and not authorized to make. Parents must be involved in these important decisions. So the lawyer for the family is acting as if a decision can be made about one sex. That's what the lawyer is acting like. This is why we're losing, folks. The people on our side are acting as if there's something to debate when it comes to a 12-year-old who shouldn't even be aware of sex. I mean, she should know she's a girl, but that's about as far as it should go. There shouldn't be any issues of sexuality with a 12-year-old girl, and if they are, someone should be arrested. But anyway, that's the family's lawyer. The school, they're just maniacally hell-bent on molesting and destroying as many kids as they can out there in public, right in front of God and everybody, right in front of our faces, they're doing it. The counselor, according to the school, they said, of course, the counselor would keep this information private. What information? That he was talking to a 12-year-old girl about sex. Manny, an LGBTQ plus advocate. That's the counselor involved. Well, that's either the counselor involved or some faggot protecting and advocating for the counselor involved in the psychological and possibly physical molestation of a 12-year-old girl. Manny, who's quoted in the article, says he blames parents for children who attempt suicide over their gender confusion. He says he blames parents if children would rather speak to a teacher than bring their concerns about gender and identity and sexual orientation up at home. If the individual did not come out to their family, there's a reason for that. There's a reason. They wouldn't come out to you, Mom, Dad, but they would come out to me, Manny, at school. Yeah, there's a reason, Manny. It's because you're a pervert and you should be arrested. And if we don't start arresting these deviant perverts who are publicly... All right, that's it. That's all. I'm just going to call for their arrest and I'm going to leave it at that, because otherwise I'll say something for which I could be arrested. So let's move on to Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps is a pothead swimmer who, for some reason, the New York Post wants his opinion on something. From the mouths of Babes File, pothead Michael Phelps said, let me lay the groundwork for the story. You remember the tranny swimmer from University of Pennsylvania, or maybe it was Harvard or Yale or I don't know, some university of anywhere. Transgendered swimmer Leah Thomas, who has been, it's a man acting like a girl swimming against girls and winning almost all the time. Pothead Michael Phelps asked by the New York Post what he thinks about it, and he says that the controversy surrounding the transgendered swimmer is, like, very complicated. Do you hear that, dude? That's my skull, says Michael Phelps. So the controversy surrounding transgendered, basically men dressing up like girls in girls' swimsuits and swimming against girls, Michael Phelps says it's a complicated issue. Phelps appeared on CNN with Christiane Amanpour last week. So I'm sorry, this is the New York Post is just repeating a story from CNN. Michael, what do you think about this extremely disturbing question of the future of our civilization as regards to the fundamental issue of whether or not people are men or women? What do you think, Michael? In between bong hits, could you let us know? Christiane Amanpour. Excuse me, Michael. No, can I do Christiane? Christiane has the fake Palestinian accent merged with a British accent, and she's quite ethnically, culturally ambiguous, but obviously wants to appear very smart. And so, to do so, I interview people like Michael Phelps. Anyway, so she asked Michael Phelps what he thinks. He says, you know, I think this leads back to the organizing committees of swimming. Really, Michael? We were asking you about the issue of transgenderism and the whole mania surrounding that. I think it leads back to the organizing committees, you know, that regulate swimming. I mean, you know, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. unquote. Is that the end of the statement? That's the end of the statement from Michael Phelps. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. Thank you, Michael. Jump back in the pool. Wait, he goes on because Christian asks him a follow-up question. Michael, what about the end of civilization and the destruction of everything we've known for thousands of years? Please grant us your wisdom, Michael. Well, you know, I like believe that we all should feel comfortable with who we are. I mean, I don't know what it looks like in the future. It's very complicated. Unquote. That's it. That is the length and the breadth of Michael Phelps' wisdom on the transgendered boys acting like girls. And we move from there, from the Christian and Michael, to reason number 1215, in no particular order, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, because they may be instructed. What did I get to? What was the reason for the last one? 1217 was that your child may be gender confused to the point of attempting suicide. That was reason number 1217. We now go to reason number 1215. Seattle, 2013. Tracy Castro Gill receives a master's degree in education. That means she's not all that smart. And she couldn't really get a master's degree in a real science, so she went for education, which is a fake. And so because she's a master of education, she becomes a teacher in the Seattle public school system circa 2013. 2014, when her daughter was 9 years old, she, that being Tracy Castro Gill, master of education, married a child molester, a convicted child molester, and moved her 9-year-old daughter in with said child molester. So now we move forward in time to from 2014. And she gets a job with the Seattle Public Schools, does Tracy Castro Gill, married to a child molester, a convicted child molester. By the way, he was convicted of, let's see, what was he convicted of? Abusing his 8-year-old cousin. So a 36-year-old child molester was abusing his 8-year-old cousin. This psycho leftist, Tracy Castro Gill, master of education, marries the child molester, moves her young daughter in, gets a job with the Seattle Public Schools, and before long, Tracy Castro Gill inhabits a high-level central office position in the Seattle Public Schools, and she's a director of diversity or something like that. The name of it is here in the article, but I don't know if I'll be. It has to do with diversity and equity, DIE, diversity, inclusion, and equity. It's one of those. She's involved in all of that. And she basically has influence over 54,000 children in the Seattle Public Schools. She even posed for a picture with students wearing a T-shirt that said, quote, Marxist ringleader, unquote. Yeah, that's on her T-shirt. And then after being removed from her job for misconduct, she started a charity offering training, right, to the public schools for $70,000 per course. She starts her nonprofit. And within a few months, Tracy Castro Gill, self-proclaimed Marxist ringleader married to a child molester, has contracts with 12 public schools in the Seattle public school system to hire her for $70,000 a pop to train the schools about Marxism and transgenderism and homosexuality and deviancy and pervert and everything and all of it. She gets hired by the schools. March 2021, the Washington State Board of Education votes to require its members to take her classes. 18-hour classes from Tracy Castro Gill. So reason number 1,215 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. It's been infested and dominated with Marxist, transgendered, pervert, child molesting freaks, and their policies and teachings are compulsory. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I was waiting for the punchline on that story, too. I was waiting for Tracy Castro Gill's suicide attempt or arrest for murder or whatever it was that was going to end that story. Certainly, it wasn't going to end with her 18-hour course on Marxism, deviancy, diversity, inclusivity, and what's the E? Equity? D-I-E? That surely that wasn't the end of the story, that that had become compulsory after all this other litany of, but that's it. The Daily Wire basically outs a Marxist deviant out to corrupt and destroy our children and our nation. And there is no punchline. That's just it. It just is. But it does make reason number 1,215 to get or keep your children out of the government schools here at the Weekly Worldview. So no life is ever wasted. It can at least serve as a bad example, as in the case of Tracy Castro Gill, who should be arrested. But instead, she's compulsory. We go from there to Los Angeles. For reason number 1,216 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, not to put too fine a point on it, not to whip a dead horse, but have you picked up and gotten the idea that I think you should get or keep your children out of the government schools? And if you, I'm serious about it too, folks. It's not, I'm not just saying that. I did that. I did it, and I'm doing it right now. And it's great. Getting, you know, keeping. We never had to get our kids out. We just kept them out. If yours are in, it's not too late. Get them out. We go to Los Angeles, where several young girls were abused at their school, at the New West Charter School in Los Angeles. It's a charter school. They're good schools. They're like the best. They're not like all the other public schools. They're the charter schools. They're the good schools. Well, at the charter school in L.A., there were a number of girls who did not or have not gotten the COVID vaccine. And these young girls were denied chairs at school. They were forced to sit outside on the pavement. Wow. And then warning tape, the yellow warning tape was put around them by staff and other students. Wow. And then the girls, they were also not allowed to use the restrooms because they weren't vaccinated. One of the girls, these are 14, 15-year-old girls. She describes what happened. She says, we're being threatened to be suspended because we don't have the vaccine, because we don't have the COVID-19 vaccine, and we're being refused the right to attend school, and we're being closed off by this caution tape. We're being segregated from the rest of school. Okay, so mom, dad, girl, the 14-year-old girl, if there's never been a red flag, a bright, shining, flashing, warning light in your life, to get out of the school. I mean, if this doesn't do it, I mean, really, Mom, Dad, you want to reform the school? Is that what you think? And by the way, it's not running away. So I've never been one to run away from the battle. I've never been one to do that. But you don't send innocent children into battle against the forces of Satan and darkness and wickedness and adults hell-bent on manipulating, lying to, corrupting, seducing, and molesting your children. You don't send your children into that. You fight that. And the first way you fight it is keeping your children away from them and raising your children to be the generation that will destroy them. Eventually, someone's going to start arresting these bastards, and God help me, it's going to be my children. God help me, it'll be my children who will finally arrest these bastards. Meanwhile, we move to something that'll not as detrimental to my blood pressure. And that's the Canadian truckers. From the widespread panic file, the widespread panic, by the way, is at Justin Trudeau's house. That's where there's panic over the truckers. Because the truckers, they are trucking through Canada. And they've arrived. In fact, as I was going to air, the truckers had arrived. And the mainstream news media was doing everything they can to simply ignore the fact that, well, listen to this. So there's a world record already existing, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, for the longest convoy of semi-trucks. The longest convoy in history was assembled in November of 2020 in Egypt, and it was 480 trucks. That's the current record, or as it was yesterday, Saturday. As we go to air on Sunday, the current Canadian truck convoy is estimated to comprise 50,000 trucks.
Wow.
So the record goes from 480 to over 50,000.
Wow.
That's pretty. So the truckers, they all got together in Vancouver, which for all you children and adults who matriculate in the government schools, Vancouver is on the west coast of, and I don't know how to explain that to you. Look at a map. Do you even understand a map if you went to government school? No, you're not sure what's going on. Anyway, they started on one side of the country and they drove all the way to the other side is what I'm trying to get at. From the west all the way to the east to the capital of Ottawa, right? And they're going, so the story I have here is from Legal Insurrection. They say that they are protesting the vaccine mandate for truck drivers, which that's really not all this is about. I mean, that is the animating spark behind the trucker convoy. But they're not just protesting the mandate, the vax mandate for truck drivers. They are protesting physically, non-violently, but physically, the general descent of Canada into Nazi-esque tyranny under Justin Trudeau and the other maniac, pervert, hysterical cowards who threatened to destroy Canada and murder 10 million people and thrust Western civilization into 1,000 years of darkness. That's what the truck convoy protest is actually about. It's not just about the vax mandate for truck drivers. Justin Trudeau, as the convoy arrived, he hid. So he announced a couple of days ago that it's possible he was exposed to COVID, and so he needs to follow the guidance and isolate. Follow the guidance. I need to isolate for 5 days away from any real men who might embarrass me or make me feel bad. So Justin Trudeau, as the trucks rolled in, nobody knows where he is. He's following the guidance and self-isolating with other effeminate types. So he says he's simply going to hide and ignore them. I was concerned that the government of Canada might respond to the truckers with some sort of violent resistance or some physical resistance. But then I remembered that they're all a bunch of sissified wussies. And they would just be scared and wet themselves until the truckers go home. Justin Trudeau, by the way, hid like a little crying girl, wetting himself and shivering in a corner after calling the truck drivers and the millions of people supporting the millions a fringe minority with unacceptable views, said Trudeau. So, Mr. Trudeau, if their views are unacceptable and you're the leader of the government, why don't you do something about it? Is it because you're scared and you're effeminate and you know that that you're wrong and they're right? And maybe Justin Trudeau will have some sort of epiphany and he'll realize that he's been lied to and seduced. So, and by the way, Justin, so the idea that you should not destroy Western civilization and replace it with a Nazi-esque tyranny like what you're doing, Justin, that's unacceptable. But we're allowed to talk openly about transgenderism and legalizing dope and murdering babies. That's none of that's unacceptable. What's unacceptable is when straight white Christian men stand up and say no more. In fact, it's time we start pushing you back. We're going to push you and all your other deviant perverts, all of you Marxists and all of you trannies and everyone who thinks there's an open question about who's a boy and who's a girl, we're going to push you back into the darkness, out of the light. That's unacceptable to you. Well, we will make you accept it because we are what is reality and truth. And you, Justin Trudeau, and Black Lives Matter and the trannies and all of you, Michael Phelps and everyone else who's confused about this, you're all an aberration. You're all an aberration of recent festering and oozing. You just erupted as a festering, oozing sore. And the rest of us who understand and who are guided by the light and the knowledge of the living God from the beginning, from the days of old, we're going to push you all back into the darkness, Lord willing. And now, actually, should I wait? Because I don't know if I have time to do this here before. Let me just point out the irony of the bridge collapsing in Pittsburgh just before Joe Biden landed in town. Just before Joe Biden landed in Pittsburgh to lie about fixing bridges with all the money he's expropriated for his alleged infrastructure, just before he landed, the bridge actually collapsed. And thankfully, nobody was injured. Seriously, nobody was killed anyways. When the bridge in Pittsburgh collapsed just before Joe Biden landed, I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't scheduled to stand on that bridge and lie about fixing bridges, and then the bridge collapses before he arrives. Talk about divine irony, right? But the national news media, the leftist, secular, mainstream media, acts as if there is nothing going on here. There's nothing to comment on here. There's nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen. You just keep walking that way. We're just going to keep going this way as if it's reality. But there's a big wake-up call coming for all of you because reality hides from no man. We'll be right back. you. I'm your host. That's right, I'm back. And folks, the reality, it may be obscured for a short time. It may be denied by delusional children who think they can act like it doesn't exist. But reality is never hiding. It's always just waiting to have its full presence known. That's it. And this extraordinary, historic lurch we've had over the past 2 years into unreality. Not the past 2 years, actually. I mean, this goes back. Let's not even get into that. But just this current lurch goes back at least 10 or 15 years. Reality is just there, just beyond the edge of where the fools want to look. There lurks reality waiting to bite them. And it's just a matter. Maybe it's just a matter of time. From the light at the end of the tunnel file, we have a report from Revolver.com, and it's about Elizabeth Holmes, who was the CEO of Theranos. You remember Theranos? She was recently convicted of, basically scamming all the smartest people in the world out of hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars. And because Theranos was all fake. It was a fake company built on fake technology ran by this fake person. I mean, she's a real person, but not really all that bright. Between 2003 and 2016, according to Revolver, Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes raised more than $700 million in venture capital, promising to develop revolutionary blood tests that would be done instantly with a single drop of blood at a fraction of the price of existing tests. That's right. This bold, massive leap of out of nowhere technology in a mature industry was being touted by one Elizabeth Holmes. That's right. This was going to be a technological leap forward like nothing seen in generations. Her business plan, according to Revolver, was comparable to a 20-plus-year-old promising to upend the automobile market by inventing a flying car that gets 200 miles a gallon and can be sold for $10,000. That's what Elizabeth Holmes, that's the equivalent of what she was saying to the technologically advanced medical industry, right? Where everyone's a genius and smart, and they have PhDs, and they're peer-reviewed, and they've published papers, and they're all geniuses. And Elizabeth Holmes came in and bamboozled all of them. Countless wealthy, influential, and politically connected people fell for her promises and were snookered for years. In fact, many of the people who she bamboozled continued to defend her as late as 2018 after she'd been indicted. Revolver, I'll post this article up because it is entertaining to read. Besides speaking in pseudoscientific gibberish, Holmes herself was a caricature of an inventive CEO. She dressed in a black turtleneck to copy Steve Jobs. She adopted a fake baritone voice to seem more authoritative. And she basically bamboozled all the smartest people in the country and in politics and in entertainment and in a medical innovation and research. She bamboozled them all for years. For more than 10 years, she just did nothing but raise and spend money. The author over at Revolver, whose work I will post, says, quote, many on the right are predisposed to see a deliberate plan behind even the most humiliating national catastrophe. If the globalist American empire looks like a garish joke, and it does, it must be that those in control know exactly what they're doing, and everything is going according to their plan for their benefit. Unquote. And folks, so many people I know on the right, where I hang and where my circle is, they're convinced there's this giant conspiracy of all these smart people, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they're manipulating everything. But the author at Revolver reminds us, quote, "Fortunately, it isn't true. America's ruling elites are screw-ups. They just happen to be the right sex and the right skin color or have the right surname. And others once had real talent, but have just aged into senility, refusing to pass the torch on to others. Some have simply ruined themselves through decades of overriding their own common sense in obedience to an inane ideology that makes no sense. Why will the hell of permanent COVID hysteria end? Well, for the same reason Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos collapsed, because those in power are truthfully too dumb to keep it going forever." Unquote. It's, well, from your lips to God's ears. I hope it's true. And I happen to believe that this idea of a grand conspiracy of geniuses manipulating us all, you know, that George Soros and the Microsoft guy and all of the other, you pick the top 10, Ocasio-Cortez and all of them. You think they're actually smart enough to pull this off and to hoodwink reality. And they're actually not. But it requires people to actually stand up and call them out. So eventually, someone had to arrest Elizabeth Holmes. Eventually. Someone had to say, wait a minute, stop. This is ridiculous. And so at some point, someone has to say the same thing to George Soros and Tom, what's his name? All of them, the New World Order, the whole cast of characters. At some point, someone has to call them out and say, wait a minute, you can't get away with this. And so that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview. We're here to be at the tip of that spear, calling them out, saying, wait a minute, this is ludicrous. You can't get away with this. Who do you think you're kidding? And so here's a great example of it. From the Wealthy Communist File, the Black Lives Matter movement turns out not to be really a movement. They're not really ideologues who are true believers, who actually want to wrest civilization from everyone else for their enlightened political dreams of a socialist utopia. They're not true believers. They're just greedy. It turns out Black Lives Matter purchased a mansion in Canada for around $6 million that used to serve as the headquarters of the Communist Party of Canada. Why did they do it? Because they're greedy and they wanted a really nice mansion. That's right. It's not because they believed in workers of the world unite. It's not because they believe in anything except satisfying their own lusts and appetites. Janaya Khan, female and wife of Patrice Khan Cullors, co-founder of Black Lives Matter, not only did she spend $3.5 million on her houses in L.A. and in Georgia, they bought this mansion up in Canada, and now it turns out that nobody's quite sure where the $66 million that Black Lives Matter raised. Nobody's quite sure where it all is. Yes, Makani Themba and Monifa Bandele, who are supposed to be managing the money of Black Lives Matter, over $60 million, they say they're not sure where it is. But they're dressed really well, and they have nice cars, and they eat very well, and they have nice houses, and they're just not sure where all that money went. But workers of the world unite! So, folks, if we would just call these people out for what they are, they're just all fake. They're a mile wide and an inch deep, and they'll fold up like a cheap suitcase. If just rational, reasonable people, based in all of the traditional truths that we all knew and agreed upon for approximately 5,000 years, if we just stand up and say, no more, you put that away, you stupid child, and give them a smack. And just pull things back onto the track of reality. In fact, over in England, from the Widespread Hypocrisy File, England says they're going to remove all COVID-19 restrictions. Why? Because someone finally called out Boris Johnson and said, we're going to throw you out of office. This is ridiculous. And he said, okay, I'll stop. That's right. When all this stuff expires, they're not going to, no more mask mandates, no more stay at home, no more vaccine mandates. It's all going to end because someone finally called Boris out. That's right. Effective immediately. No longer will people have to work from home. No more COVID passes to go into the bars and the nightclubs. All of the restrictions that expired at the end of January, they're all expired. Excuse us, let us move on. Nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen. No reason to look into those parties I had during the lockdowns. No, we're going to... I stopped it all. It's okay now, right? Let's see. Is there anything else? Yeah, all of this comes as the Prime Minister battles increasing pressure for him to resign because he had lockdown-breaching parties at his house. Why? Because he knew it was all bogus. That's why. He knew it was all a big fat lie from the beginning. All right. Now finally, I don't want to end with this yet here. Oh, yeah, let's do Fauci first and then we'll do Biden. Speaking of back to reality. This is from the You Might Be a Megalomaniac file. Yeah, the You Might Be a Megalomaniac file. Uh-huh. The New York Post reports on, footage. Let's see, footage of President Biden's chief medical advisor. Wait a minute, President Biden's chief? Listen to how the New York Post does this. They say recent footage of President Biden's chief medical advisor has appeared in a documentary. And, well, basically it shows Fauci surrounded by images of himself, including a giant painting of himself. In front of the desk where he sits all day is a giant painting of himself. And then on his desk, he has a bobblehead of himself. Okay, so first of all, to the right wing or whatever the New York Post, because they're not raging, flaming communists, they're suddenly somehow conservative, when actually the New York Post is a bunch of leftist sex perverts. Okay, they just happen to not want the government to be taking so much of their money. That doesn't make them conservative, but it makes them against, well, they're mad at Joe Biden and Anthony Fauci. That doesn't necessarily mean they're on my side, okay? That's not enough. That's too low of a bar. And by the way, Anthony Fauci, who has his own bobblehead on his desk, excuse me, he's not just President Joe Biden's chief medical advisor. He was also Trump's. Do you remember? He's the guy who snookered Trump. He's Donald Trump's Elizabeth Holmes, for crying out loud. He's the one who told Trump that we could stop the spread of a cold virus. And Trump bought it. Oh, no. Anyway, I just want to remind you people that Anthony Fauci is not just a Democrat's. He was also Trump's. But anyway, if you have a bobblehead on your desk or if your staff feels like that you would want a bobblehead of yourself, you might be a megalomaniac. That's just, I want you to check yourself is all. And then from there we go. Speaking of reality, Joe Biden called up Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and... basically, Biden started telling Zelensky that the Russians are going to invade. It's almost certain. Kiev is about to be sacked. And it might even be occupied within weeks. At which point, Vladimir Zelensky said, please, calm down, Mr. Biden. Take it easy there. So Zelensky wasn't aware that there was about to be this invasion and sacking and looting and burning and raping of all the women and the occupation by the Russians. He wasn't aware any of this was going on, but Joe Biden knows. Why? Because Joe Biden watches CNN and MSNBC and Fox News, by the way, who all seem to be all in for a war in Eastern Europe, which is really weird. Really weird that Zelensky's not aware of it. Now, is it possible that the Russians are about to pounce and the ignorant Ukrainians are unaware of it? Well, no, that's not possible. If the Ukrainians were terrified of the Russians attacking, they would be begging everyone for help loudly. But instead, they're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Everybody's getting excited. Blizz. Anyway, here's the thing. is when the COVID hysteria mania collapses of its own weight, of its own stupidity and frivolity. I can't just say the Democrats, because it's not just the Democrats, folks. It's the purveyors of unreality who have been ascendant for the past couple of years and have pulled off an amazing high wire act of behaving as if their unreality is actually real. When that all starts to collapse, they're going to need another unreality. And it seems like the unreality of the day is going to be now. We move from the impeachment of Donald Trump to the COVID hysteria that became a mania, that became an out-of-control monster that nobody could have ever imagined would do what it has done. Now it's going to be a Russian war in Eastern Europe, apparently. That's the next unreality. And I just don't think that they can pull this one off. And I hope not. But then again, I thought that after 2 weeks, everybody would, like, open up their doors and say, what was that all about? Back in March of 2020, I thought that would last about 2 weeks. So don't count on me for any long-term advice on the future of Western civilization and where all that's headed. I mean, after all, ladies and gentlemen, we have Michael Avenatti. Is it Michael Avenatti? I forget his first name. The deviant pervert lawyer. He's actually cross-examining Stormy Daniels in a court of law as if that's real. Okay, I mean, you've got all the smartest people in the world throwing away the common sense of thousands of years in a hysteria over a cold virus. You've got them now trumping up a war in Eastern Europe. A war that, I mean, Ukraine and Russia, I think they're the same country. That's just my opinion, but historical reality for 1,000 years. But 1,000 years of historical reality no longer matters. That's right. We need a transgendered republic in Kiev. And it has nothing to do with Russia, and it never did. And don't you even ask why. But hey, Michael Avenatti is cross-examining Stormy Daniels as... This is the dark, embarrassing coda of the American justice system, is Michael Avenatti cross-examining Stormy Daniels. It's just another signpost along the road, the highway, to help. Please, Mr. Biden, calm down. What are you talking about? Somebody give him a Prozac or something. No, it's war. I tell you, it's war. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and at American Right to Life and my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.